presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Callaway Resort and Gardens was amazing this past week. What a great time it was. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a moment here on Dog Nation Daily. As Dog Nation Days of Summer got kicked off in style in a big way this past week. We'll do all that coming up. You want to talk recruiting, though, so let's try to talk for a little bit about what went down this weekend. And I think the only takeaway that you can have here is, one way or another, Georgia shot its shot. One way or another, Georgia put its best foot forward for the guys that were on campus this past weekend, probably prominently among that group, the five-star running back Kendall Milton. I thought Jeff's profile with Milton's father leading into the official visit as the preview of all that, I thought that was exceptional, really good stuff from Jeff. And then some of the stuff that we saw kind of come unearthed from the Milton visit here this week gives you another strong indication that Georgia really did its part. Let me show you this from Chris Milton on Twitter. For those of you obviously listening, radio podcast, I will make sure that I describe this to you. Chris Milton said on Twitter, Mr. Milton has been incredibly open on social media, which you love. He's shared a lot of the stuff about their process leading up to the Georgia visit and even sharing this from the Georgia visit. I thought this was really nice. Milton says, so deep. Yesterday was the anniversary of my grandfather, Kendall's great-grandfather's death. Georgia surprised Kendall Milton with this edit. And for those of you watching on video, you obviously see this. It's Kendall Milton sitting on what looks to be almost like a throne below that. And above that is a picture with Mr. Milton's grandfather and what looks to be a young Kendall there on that screen. An incredible, incredible edit and a really cool moment, I'm imagining, for the Milton family. Now, here's where I have to be honest with you just for a moment. There's obviously the part of this as a Georgia fan, and I won't lie to you, it comes to mind. There's a part of this as a Georgia fan who, when you see something like that, you're left wanting to say, ooh, this is really savvy. This is Georgia doing a great job of recruiting Kendall Milton. And that part of that is not lost on me. Obviously, it's great to see Georgia doing something like that for Milton, being aware enough of that family situation to be able to share what is a really poignant edit like that. However, it's also worth pointing out that for the Milton family itself, this goes beyond just clever recruiting tactics and really good job of making a deep familial connection while he's on campus. No, this really means a lot to them. I mean, Jeff Sintel wrote about this at DogNation.com, that this was an official visit for Milton where a lot of extended family would be coming. Some of that extended family who lives in Georgia, some of that extended family traveling with the with Milton's parents from California. Family is obviously really important to them. When you think about, you know, the ancestors of that family, this goes beyond just a really cool edit, a really cool recruiting moment for Georgia. This is something that for them is deeply personal. Because can you imagine? I mean, I don't know what it feels like to be a five-star running back. I don't know what it feels like to be a scholarship offer from Georgia. Most of us do not. Most of us, our children won't experience that either. But if you do, if you are ever in that moment, the way the Milton family is, one of the things that you will think about in that moment are how proud the, you know, previous generations of the family would be if they had that moment to watch in on Kendall and see all of this going down. So for them, this is an especially special moment, and it's cool to see Georgia honoring in that way. Kendall Milton on Twitter gave us a little bit more of a traditional recruits tweet when he showed off his uniform. Now, I guess a little credit goes to Milton here for being among the rare recruits to also be wearing the white uniform in the Twitter images of the official visit. We see like seemingly 90% of these guys, they'll wear the black jersey. Every now and then somebody wears the red jersey. Milton also showing off the white away jersey, which is a little bit different. Kendall on Twitter saying, I got black, I got white, what do you want? He's pretty much shown off a picture of that from most of the visits he's taken, including the purple jersey from LSU not too long ago. So that in itself, you don't read a ton into that. But you might read a little bit into this. As we've said before, one of the most outspoken recruiters for Georgia on Twitter as of late has been the Georgia commit, the five-star linebacker, Mekhi Sherman. In addition to that, Sherman's one of these guys that doesn't play a lot of games on Twitter. For the most part, seemingly, he kind of says what he means here. But he was pretty active as of late when it comes to talking about what went down this weekend. This is pretty cryptic. We don't know what it means, but given Sherman's recent past, when he speaks up on something like this, it apparently means something. In fact, here is what Sherman said about all of this. He gives the laughing emoji, and then he says, thank me later, with kind of a, you know, the smiley face deal there. So kind of playing a little bit coy. But it sounds like Mikhail Sherman, through the grapevine, was pretty happy with what he heard this past weekend going down. One can only presume that might have something to do with five-star running back Kendall Milton. After all, Sherman has pushed publicly for Milton a lot. As it stands right now, though, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Now, Kendall Milton was not the only big recruit who was hosted this weekend. Recent Georgia commit Josh Braun was also there as well. Now, Josh is the rare young man that I don't believe he has any social media at all. I don't think that Josh is on social media, but his dad is. It was his dad's Twitter account that actually announced the Braun commitment not all that long ago. And it was Mr. Braun who also were kind of sharing some of the images from Josh Braun's official visit here as well. Let me show you something from Mike Braun on Twitter, giving the line here from Pink Floyd, that all in all, it's just another brick in the wall, and you see that collection of offensive linemen that Georgia's putting together here. One of the reasons why you feel like that Georgia is going to be in great shape for a running back like Kendall Milton is because of the offensive line that it's bringing in, guys like Tate Ratledge, Josh Braun, guys who've been really good friends with each other and really looking forward to building another dominant era of that Georgia offensive line here. So the overall bottom line on this discussion is this. When you look and see some of the social media evidence for this past weekend, you certainly get the impression that Georgia did what it set out to do. Really host a phenomenal weekend with some of the biggest prospects in all of college football. We've gotten used to these things this time of year here around Dog Nation. They're fun to cover. They're fun to pay attention to. And now comes the part that's not quite so much fun, the waiting game part, the part where you have to wonder where it all goes from here. We don't quite know all of that yet, but certainly there is at least some evidence there may be some good news down the line. So we'll follow that and see where it all goes. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us today live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon as well on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, and the world-famous DogNation.com. We are just really glad you have found Dog Nation Daily here today. We got a fun show coming up. We'll talk to Chip Towers here in just a bit. Chip wrote a very interesting piece about what he expects the Georgia starting lineup to look like this upcoming season. I thought that Chip had some interesting things to say in there, and it kind of leads us to a little bit of a debate about some of these position groups. We'll do that with Chip here today coming up on the program. As promised, I do want to talk just for a little bit about the Dog Nation Days of Summer and the kickoff to that great series of events that happened this past week at Callaway Resort and Gardens. When I tell you that this was as much fun as it ever could have been, exceeding my expectations in every way imaginable, trust me when I tell you that that is absolutely not an overstatement. I love being there for myself, but I also love being able to watch other Georgia fans seemingly have a great time. Kind of the fellowship of dog fans kind of in our event that night when it started at 6 p.m. or the VIP reception that was earlier that night on Thursday at 5 p.m. Seeing the Georgia fans interact with each other and talk with each other, I thought was just kind of a really cool thing to do. Seeing that kind of back and forth stuff was great. And then for me, and I don't get to do this a ton, you know, around here we get to do a lot of really cool things, but a lot of these really cool things and places that we go, games and, you know, things of that nature, there's, you know, so much work going on that I don't really get to take my family to a lot of things. My family does not really travel with me too much for games or anything like that, but I was able to take them with me, my wife and my two children, to the kickoff of Dog Nation Days of Summer at Callaway Resort and Gardens, and to watch them enjoy this facility here was, yeah, just really one of the fun things that we'll do all summer, or we've done in any summer. If you're watching on video, you see some of that kind of stuff. That, like, lake obstacle course right there with the inflated stuff where you you climb and you swing and then you jump off something. Both my children, my son especially, just loved every second of that. I watched them do that over and over again. I saw other Dog Nation staffers. They had their kids. They're riding the bikes around there. We had a great time playing golf on Friday. I'll talk more about that a little bit later on in a moment. I'm not the greatest golfer in the world, but it was one of the great golf experiences I probably ever had. Callaway Resort and Gardens just rolled out the red carpet from the word go, and it was an incredible, incredible experience. So I just cannot thank the Callaway Resort and Garden staff enough. It was a special time for me, especially given the fact we're rolling into Father's Day weekend this past Sunday, to kind of kick that weekend off in style at Callaway Resort and Gardens, a world-class resort. We're so lucky to have this in the state of Georgia, just a short drive away from the Atlanta area. We're really lucky to have this, and this was an incredible, incredible time. So huge thanks to them for making all of this possible. And the great news is, for those of you who were there, you already know how much fun this was. For those of you who have maybe watched in on this, seen some of the video clips we've shown, heard me talk about it, and you say, man, BA, I missed that at Callaway Resort and Gardens. The good news is, and a lot of you already know this, that there is another chance to be with us for a Dog Nation Days of Summer event, and my expectation is it's going to be just as much fun coming up on Thursday, August 1st, when we go to Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. I'll be telling you more about this to come, but a lot of the same cool things we were able to do at Callaway Resort and Gardens, we will also be able to do at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa coming up on Thursday, August 1st. So I cannot wait to talk to you more about that, and for those of you who were there and were eyewitnesses to it, you know the bar was set very high for Callaway Resort and Gardens as far as what's going to be going down, the fun that's going to be had when it comes to a big-time Dog Nation Days of Summer event. So we'll look forward to talking to you about that more in the time to come. I don't have a ton of time left before we talk to Chip Towers, so let me kind of squeeze in a couple things here just for a moment. If you have maybe been out and about over the weekend and you maybe missed some of the stuff that's at DogNation.com, let me invite you to go to DogNation.com and check out a couple of things. One of those things I did preview just a moment ago, we're going to have Chip Towers here coming up in just a moment, and we're going to talk to him about his thoughts on what the Georgia starting lineup might look like for this season. As I said before, there are a couple of debates that kind of come off of that, which I think will get really fun. So we'll do a lot of that with Chip here coming up in just a moment. But there are a couple of other things at DogNation.com that I want to make sure that you see. Our buddy Connor Riley kind of went deep on a subject that we brought up on our show not too long ago. Do you remember Jeff Sintel coming on our program not all that long ago and saying that he thought with the work that Georgia's doing with Josh Braun, the work that it has done with Tate Ratledge, guys like Akio Olagunbi and others, that Georgia could be on its way to the greatest offensive line class that this program's ever had, maybe that any program's ever had. Well, Connor Riley put some numbers behind that statement for his Good Day UGA piece this morning at DogNation.com. I hope that you will check that out there as well. And I think that's a really interesting thing to think about. It's another one of those things that it kind of flies below the radar just a little bit because of the Kendall Milton visit this past weekend, just the kind of work that Sam Pittman has been doing. And I've said this before, at this point in time, Pittman isn't so much recruiting as he is selecting. You know, Pittman gets a chance to look across the spectrum of offensive linemen, and he gets to say, that guy's a fit for me. That guy's a fit for me. This guy's a five-star, but maybe he's not the perfect fit for our program. This is the guy I want instead to follow in the footsteps of an Andrew Thomas, or one day an Isaiah Wilson, or maybe the two guards who could leave after this season, Solomon Kinley, Ben Cleveland. That's the guy I want there in that role. That's the guy I want doing those things, and it's really cool right now to watch Sam Pittman being able to do what he's doing, because as we've said before, the success that Georgia's having with its offensive linemen also sets this program up for success at other positions as well. Running backs are paying close attention. I mean, my gosh, look at what Jeff Sintel wrote from Friday with Chris Milton, the father of the five-star running back Kendall Milton. Hellified, was that the word that was used? Hellified to describe these offensive linemen. So as that continues to go down, Georgia puts itself in a really good position for other top-flight players at other positions as well. I thought Connor Riley had some interesting insight on that. Please make sure you check that out at DogNation.com. And then one more piece I want to make sure you check out, which I thought was incredibly good, was the piece that Mike Griffith had looking in on what Malik Herring, the Georgia defensive lineman, has done in kind of his middle Georgia community, having a good time kind of setting up an event for some of the local kids there in that community. I think that Malik Herring is a really cool guy. And I think that Herring is one of these guys as a player who is just on the verge of really breaking out. Had a big game against Georgia Tech, has maybe been challenged by Kirby Smart to be a little more consistent week to week, maybe even day to day during practice, although we don't always see a ton of that with our own eyes. size. I think that Herring is a really cool guy, a really intriguing prospect as a player. But let's face it, we sometimes focus on these guys only as players. We don't see them beyond that. And when you see the local news report from down in his kind of community around the Macon area, when you see the work that he's doing with young kids down there, you really get a sense of who Herring is beyond just the guy on the football field that wears number 10, who you see on your screen if you're watching video. You see beyond that with him, and I thought Mike did a good job of highlighting a story from that Macon area that we might not otherwise have seen. So good job for Mike Griffith on that, and a really good reason to be checking out DogNation.com. Even throughout the summer weekends like this, there's always a lot of fun stuff there. All right, before we get Chip Towers, let me remind you that this is a great time of year to be out in the back porch. You're grilling, you're cooking out, you're maybe got a little low and slow on the barbecue smoker there. Well, whatever you're doing, get grilling with fresh flavors all summer long at your local Kroger. They've got everything you need for those summer barbecues, from your meats and chips, sides, and everything else in between. Kroger, a great thing to check out when it comes to that. All right, we got a lot more. It was also a busy weekend around the SEC here this weekend. A target of note for Georgia fans was apparently on somebody else's campus. We'll talk to you about that coming up. But for now, here on Dog Nation Daily, let's talk to our buddy Chip Towers.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, really good stuff here today on Dog Nation Daily. Glad to have all of you with us. It's fun to be back in our Atlanta studios again, our, as I like to say, Dog Nation World Headquarters studios, after having been out this past weekend for Dog Nation Days of Summer. And boy, it was great yesterday getting caught up on some of the stuff happening around the program. Some of that coming from Chip Towers here at DogNation.com. His Anatomy of a Starting Lineup piece was at the website DogNation.com yesterday. And I want to talk to Chip about that and a lot more here in our program today. Chip, welcome back, and hope you're doing well.
Hey, I'm doing great. It's a fun time of year, Brandon. We all get to, you know, kind of look down. It's close enough we can kind of taste it. But we can also, you know, be able to anticipate a little bit what we're about to see. And so between recruiting and that team being reassembled in Athens and now going through summer workouts, there's a lot to be excited about this time of year.
Yeah, there is. And obviously you helped us get excited with your piece on the anatomy of the starting lineup at DogNation.com. And there are a couple takeaways I had from that, and I wanted to kick those around with you here for a moment. One of the first for me is I was interested to see that you kind of view one area of the starting lineup pretty similar to me. You know, back during the spring, there was a lot of chatter about Jamari Salyer getting some first-team reps at a couple of different positions, even some talk about Cade Mays kind of doing the same thing. But ultimately, the starting lineup you settled on for your offensive line is the same one we saw for the red team on G-Day, and kind of the same one we would have penciled in on paper before the start of spring practice, with Trey Hill at center, with the two veterans, Kinley and Cleveland, at guard, and obviously the bookend tackles, Isaiah Wilson and Andrew Thomas. Chip, I believe that is what the starting lineup will be, with all due respect to Mays and Salyer and the attention they got this spring. Ultimately, barring injury for the Vanderbilt game in week one and then every game up until something changes because of some sort of competition, whatever, but my assumption is the starting lineup for Georgia at the offensive line is the one that you printed this weekend at DogNation.com. Would you mind going into a little bit of detail about why you stuck with, you know, Cleveland at right guard, for instance, despite the fact that Salyer had gotten some attention this past spring?
Well, I don't think the Ben Cleveland being in the starting lineup at the end of spring practice is a small thing. You know, I'm not sure everybody fully appreciates how far back he had to come, you know, from that basically what amounted to a high ankle break, you know. You know, when you're, you know, 6'6", 350 pounds or whatever Ben Cleveland is, you know, any lower leg break or injury is just difficult to overcome, and a lot of people might not immediately recognize it because of Ben's, you know, extreme size and strength. But you know, his quickness and his lower body movement is a big part of what he does. You know, being able to get his feet set, planted, and heading in the right direction, and you know, he earned that starting position. Everybody knows this. You keep close touch, which is most people who listen to you, Brandon, and us. Is, you know, going back to Solomon Kinley, Ben Cleveland earned that start at the end of the 2017 season, after that Auburn game at right guard, and that kind of was a big difference maker for Georgia down the stretch. You know, conversely, losing him early in the season last year was a tough blow as well. And, you know, while Georgia has recovered nicely from all that, they have probably the best depth in the country on the offensive line. So no matter who you insert or go with at those different positions, there's not going to be a lot of drop-off. But the fact that Ben Cleveland was able to earn the trust of Sam Pittman, of being able to come in there and get the job done again at right guard, that was not a small thing. And that has to be, I haven't researched this, but you having Ben Cleveland and Isaiah Wilson side by side on that right side, there can't be a larger, at least, offensive line presence in the country.
Yeah, no, it's a sizable group to be sure. At the wide receiver position, I thought you had kind of an interesting task because you've got guys who have been here, but a huge crop of guys who are about to arrive. The graduate transfer of Lawrence Cager, the two freshmen, Dominic Blaylock and George Pickens. And here's what I'll say. Given the roster the way it's currently constituted, meaning the last one we saw practice, minus the three guys I just mentioned, going with Demetrius Robertson, Tyler Simmons, and J.J. Holloman certainly makes a lot of sense. My belief, though, Chip, is that by the time Georgia plays week one versus Vanderbilt, or certainly, like, say, week four versus Notre Dame, one of those newcomers, and I'm not even sure yet I know which one it's going to be, but one of those newcomers, a Cager, Pickens, a Blaylock, at least will have supplanted one of the three guys you just mentioned as the top three in the Georgia receiving pecking order. It'd be unfair to make that prediction right now because we haven't seen them practice yet, nor have we heard Kirby talk much about these guys beyond some of the praise he threw Blaylock's way this spring. But I like Simmons as a veteran receiver. J.J. Holland was obviously a breakout a year ago. He's probably not going anywhere. Demetrius Robertson seemed to have a leg up over Kyaris Jackson at the end of the spring. But I believe at least one of those newcomers is probably going to make a strong case for himself between the end of July and the middle of September. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, you know, let's face it, DA. I mean, that is the most intriguing position battle going in to preseason camp, I think. And it's going to be a hotly contested deal. I mean, you know how Kirby is and Cortez Hankin, I mean, I'm sure this is going to be, you know, clearly verbalized. It is at every position, but, I mean, it's really real at that position that when they open camp, which I guess will be, you know, maybe the last day of July, first day of August, somewhere in there, it's going to be, hey, you've got these 28 practices to change our minds. And that's going to be impressive. And that, you know, I tried to stipulate that in this particular analysis that I did was to say, look, this is first game. This is game one.
Sure.
And all bets are off after that. Now, generally, it's really hard to earn a starting position straight out of practice.
Yeah.
Now, Kirby talks about it all the time. That's the biggest factor, how you do in practice. And there can be some depth chart adjustments based on what happens in practice. But generally, when you look at the three that I went with here, now, Demetrius Robertson might be the most controversial there in the slot. I really think it's going to be time for that kid to break out. Tyler Simmons is the grizzled veteran. He doesn't have a lot of production on the targeting side of things, but there's no question he's one of the fastest players, and he's the best blocker, bar none. Last time I checked, Kirby likes that. Holloman, I mean, I think J.J. Holloman, I think he's a star. I mean, I don't think his position, I don't think anybody's going to run him down based on the combination of the other two we talked about, speed, dependability, the ability to both block and catch, whether it be, you know, deep vertical throws or, you know, possession stuff over the middle.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Let me go to the defensive side for a moment. And you had Tyson Campbell listed opposite Eric Stokes as the other start at the cornerback position. And I'm a big fan of Campbell's talent. I had no problem with Georgia giving him some trial-by-fire experience on the field a year ago, even after some people would have said, well, it didn't really work because you had to replace him as a starter before the end of the season. I was still fine with that. I thought that Campbell was an experiment worth, you know, taking if you're Georgia. And yet you do move into year two with Campbell as the other cornerback with Eric Stokes Stokes now solidified seemingly as the start at the one spot. Maybe still not quite sure what you have. Athletically, you know that he is as top flight as it gets. This is also a guy that didn't necessarily play a ton of cornerback at the high school level. He's trying to prove, you know, that he can be that guy. Chip, I'll be very candid for a moment. I think it's great news if Tyson Campbell does truly emerge as the starting cornerback for Georgia, and he's probably the point spread favorite to do that. But I think he is going to get pushed in a mighty way from a guy like Devon Wilson, who's probably going to be on the field in some form or fashion, or maybe even others. Maybe it's a guy like Tyreek Stevenson, a freshman, who had a chance to go through spring practice. I think that Campbell probably has the edge here. I think it'd be big for Georgia if he finally does fulfill the potential that it seemed like he had coming out of high school as a five-star prospect. But given some of the uncertainties of a year ago, I'm not quite sure what Georgia has in Campbell as of yet. Where do you see him right now moving into his second season?
Well, yeah, obviously based on the chart I did, I anticipate him being in the starting lineup. And again, for a lot of those reasons that I talked about with the wide receiver and offensive line core, there may be some significant depth charts changes based on what happens in preseason camp. But here's the best thing about Tyson Campbell. I mean, he had a tough, tough job last year. And look, I don't believe for a minute that Kirby Smart operates on the recruiting promises thing, you know, that he was in the starting lineup just because he was a five-star, number two rated cornerback in the country, number 12 rated nationally. And so come to Georgia and we're going to stick you in the starting lineup. I think he was there because he was proved to be the best player in last year's preseason camp. So he starts every game. But think about that. What we know now and kind of knew all along about DeAndre Baker, I mean, he was kind of no man's land over there. That was pretty much the offensive strategy against Georgia. They just didn't throw his way very much. And when they did, you know, it usually came batted back in their face or whatever. So that means everything's coming on Tyson Campbell's side of the field. And that means that they're adjusting. They're putting their best guy over there. So that kind of trial by fire just can't be substituted for. It just can't, that kind of competition. Now, the flip side of that is, you know, Tyson Campbell, I think between an injury situation he had about midway in the year, and then confidence is a big part of playing that position. And you get beat a few times, and all of a sudden, you know, your shoulders start to sag a little bit. You're a little less confident about whether you want to break on that ball or try to make the tackle, or, you know, and it really gets in your head. I think a new year will represent a real rejuvenation for Tyson Campbell. And again, when you get down into the measurables and all that kind of stuff, man, it's hard to see many people being much better than Tyson Campbell. The other part of that, too, is, again, the maturation of Eric Stokes can't be underestimated. I really think Georgia has a potential all-star in that kid. We'll see if he can keep it up, but his line of progress, his arc right now is pretty impressive. And if he keeps that up, you know, he may be the DeAndre Baker of the future for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Let me talk to you about some of the other guys in defense for a moment. I want to mention Walter Grant, Brenton Cox, your two starters outside linebacker, and I'll probably mention Tate Crowder here as an inside linebacker. Those are all veterans from the standpoint they've been on the Georgia roster. A couple of them are probably more veteran than Brenton Cox would be. And yet for G-Day, Chip, we saw N'Kobe Dean on the black team, which is presumably the first-team defense. We saw Jermaine Johnson. We saw Nolan Smith. Of those veteran presences, the guys that have at least been here for 1 year, how long do you think all three of them can hold off Jermaine, Nolan, and Tay Crowder? Is this for more than just the beginning of the season? Because, boy, it seems like there's a growing sense of anticipation what these newcomers might be able to do.
Well, it is, and I would say, you know, probably second to that wide receiver competition is the outside linebacker competition. I mean, you know, unfortunately for Georgia, I thought it was pretty stark, the drop-off at outside linebacker after DeAndre Walker goes out of the game, you know, in the SEC championship. Georgia's defense just wasn't the same. And, you know, it's a difficult position to play. Brenton Cox got the majority of those snaps afterwards. Ojulari, you know, distinguished himself well in the bowl game. That's a very, very difficult position to play. And, you know, I can't begin to tell you, and I, you know, sometimes I don't want to overemphasize the complexity of college football, you know, because it can be simplified. And bottom line is, you know, the best athletes, the strongest athletes, fastest guys tend to be your best guys. But there's a lot, it's particularly inside with N'Kobe Dean, to master, you know, to be able to be an every down starter. Now, I think, you know, obviously him playing on the black team in the G-Day game is a validation of Georgia's expectations for him. But again, when you're talking about an SEC opener on the road, you better have your stuff together, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. And that's why I think, you know, Tay Crowder and Monty Rice are going to be manning the middle in there for those first games. But look, you know, I fully expect N'Kobe Dean and Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson to be in the rotation early on, and then it's how they distinguish themselves, you know, on the competitive field of play that's going to make a difference. There's no question what they've done in practice has made them stand out, but what they do in the games is going to make the difference. And I think you'll see a lot of depth chart manipulation from the first game probably to mid-season before Georgia really settles, you know, on a top 11 or really top 22, top 44, excuse me.
It'll be an interesting story to watch unfold in the weeks to come. We're not that far away from the start of practice, probably, what, about 6 or so weeks from where we stand right now, so can't wait for that. Chip, good stuff at DogNation.com. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you, and hopefully get a chance to talk to you very soon here as well.
See you on the other side.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Couple things let me also mention from what Chip was having to say there before we move on to their SEC Through. One of the names I did not get a chance to talk to him about, but I would like to have in a more extended conversation, is Richard LeCount. Now, you know, from time to time, we kind of talk about some of these guys like they are stocks and bonds, investments that can be made. And, you know, I'm not selling any of my stock in Richard LeCount. I've said this before. My expectation is that LeCount is set up for a very good junior year. It's worth pointing out, though, that not everyone in our audience is as high on him right now as I am. I have heard from a lot of you that do expect a big push from a Lewis Seen or a guy that's been here like Otis Reese. I think both those guys are talented names, and I believe they'll be on the field. I still am a big believer in Richard LeCount, though. So when you think about solid starters for this Georgia upcoming season, guys who are not likely to be pushed out of the way, LeCount is one of the names I would include in that discussion. And, by the way, one more name I wanted to mention. Go back to Friday's show for a minute. I know it's a little bit weird sometimes when we're not in studio, a little bit different kind of show. But when we were at Callaway Resort and Gardens and we got a chance to talk to John Stinchcomb and Jeff Sintel, the subject of, you know, breakout guys, whatever, I forget what the genesis of the conversation was about. But however we got into the discussion, it was about pass rusher. That's what it was. We had a commenter in our Facebook comment section asked John Stinchcomb, which of these Georgia pass rushers would it be most difficult for you to block? And Stinchcomb had a lot of nice things to say about a lot of the different guys. But Stinchcomb, a former All-American offensive lineman, a guy who played for a long time in the NFL, said, and he had several things to say about Azeez Ojulari. So when you think about guys who have been on the roster, who could very much be among the major contenders, sometimes starter can be kind of a overused word because, let's face it, Georgia's rotating a lot. But guy on the field as much as you might think of a starter being on the field. Of the 2018 signees, right now Azeez Ojulari is probably ahead of a Brenton Cox or Adam Anderson there in that role. So Ojulari was hurt a lot last year. We didn't see him until late in the season, the Sugar Bowl. But when you did see him, he looked the part. He's probably not as well known as a recruit as either Adam Anderson or Brenton Cox was. But in terms of being a prospect, of the 2018 signees, he may be ahead of those guys right now. And he may join some of the newcomers like the junior college transfer Jermaine Johnson, the incoming freshman Nolan Smith, as some of those guys that look to increase the overall havoc rate for Georgia and get after the quarterbacks a lot better. As we transition to our SEC Through, I'll remind you about an offer that we've had out there for you. One of those cool things that Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers are hearing about first, and many of you are already taking advantage of this. We gave away a set of these at Dog Nation Days of Summer at Callaway Resort and Gardens this past week, and we also had one of these sets on hand for everybody to sign on back. And we're going to give it to Nick Chubb. But make sure, if you have not heard about this yet, you get involved in this. Officially licensed, personalized, and autographed cornhole boards with the UGA logos on there. This is officially licensed product. Nick Chubb's going to sign one board from the set. He's going to personalize it for you. There are only 100 of these to be sold. We're selling some of these every day, so you got to go before these are gone. The website to go to is westgeorgiacornhole.com/Nick Chubb. That website, once again, westgeorgiacornhole.com/Nick Chubb. You can get in, get yours before they are gone. I know with Father's Day being Sunday, we had a rush on those to kind of get people who wanted to get those for a Father's Day gift. And there's still, I guess, a chance to do that. But also for those of you who are memorabilia collectors, you just like Georgia stuff, this is kind of a cool one-of-a-kind item, and you can get yours now. On the SEC through front, let me deal with a couple things here real quick. We talked about Kendall Milton being in Athens this past weekend, fair and balanced coverage. My assumption is that Zachary Evans was also at LSU because on Thursday he tweeted out that he was going to be at LSU tomorrow. He showed a picture on his Twitter feed of the offensive lineman that we've kind of talked about, you know, from time to time here, Chad Lindbergh, who was also on the LSU campus. So it looks like Zachary Evans has taken his visit to LSU. That was one of his finalists. And when you think about Houston, Zachary Evans' hometown, you think about LSU having a bit of a pipeline there. So much the same way that Kendall Milton has been on a string of official visits as of late. Looks like Zachary Evans is getting ready to start his as well. We'll await any news on him taking a UGA visit, but apparently at LSU this past week. Auburn got some good recruiting news, a name that we've covered here before, Justin Simpson, who, you know, had at one point mentioned Georgia among his finalists. At one point in time, I guess there was some thought that maybe Georgia might be interested in Simpson. The truth is Georgia does not have a lot of spots for linebackers right now because of the collection of guys that's brought in with the last two classes. It's likely going to take a couple linebackers here this year. Simpson maybe could have been one of those, but Simpson did commit to Auburn. This is probably not a huge surprise to the recruiting industry, as the young man from Mallard Creek, North Carolina, the same school that produced Jordan Davis for Georgia, Simpson now on his way to Auburn. Speaking of Auburn, they also lost, and boy, maybe if I really crunch the numbers on this, it's not quite as imbalanced as I think it might be. But boy, it seems like Auburn has had some trouble when it comes to the holding on to some of its elite recruits. A lot of their, you know, former guys seemingly entering the transfer portal. Seems like there have been a lot of those. Richard, is it Gibbiner? Is that how you say his name? Gibbiner, or former 2018 signee for Auburn, the linebacker position. He's now entered the transfer portal. So it seems like Auburn's had a lot of this kind of stuff going on with some of its top recruits. You'll add Gibbiner to the list. I've never been quite sure how to pronounce that name, but many of you remember us talking about him a bit as a recruit back before he signed with Auburn. He is now back on the open market once again. Two other quick stories I'm going to get to, and this is probably both me just being me for a moment and probably looking too deeply in something. If you go to ESPN.com right now, you see an excerpt from the book from ESPN personality Marty Smith. Now, I don't mind Marty Smith. I think he's an okay personality or whatever. Does some NASCAR talk. He's kind of their token southerner on the ESPN dais of personalities. Well, he's got a book coming out, and at ESPN.com, there's an excerpt of a conversation that he had with Nick Saban about all kinds of things. And to me, this is another example of, boy, you know, I've called him, you know, Stephen A. Saban before because of Saban's very cozy relationship with ESPN, and ESPN none too happy to trade a little access to Saban for some favorable coverage. This is seemingly another example of that. You want to talk about blurred line between news coverage and entertainment. You know, they're essentially treating Saban as an entertainment figure at this point in time and looking to cozy up as many of their people with him as they possibly can. I think ESPN benefits from this. I think Alabama also benefits from this as well. It's not necessarily sinister, but it is certainly a challenge for programs like Georgia who are trying to get over that Alabama hump, knowing that Alabama has turned ESPN into a willing accomplice as much as it has. And then where I also saw where a former Tennessee offensive coordinator and now Duke head coach David Cutcliffe has gone into the Tennessee Hall of Fame here, the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. I'm sure the Vols will like to use their connection to Cutcliffe, just given the fact that, you know, Daniel Jones was seemingly drafted by the Giants almost solely because he had worked with David Cutcliffe. Tennessee seems to want to raise their hand and say, hey, don't forget David Cutcliffe used to work here as well. Cutcliffe's relationship with the Mannings is a little bit of a hot commodity, apparently, in the NFL world right now. We'll make that your SEC through. Before I take some of your questions and comments, let me also remind you about my friends Engineering Solutions of Georgia. You know, sometimes in the summer, you're outside more. You notice things around your house more than before. You may see some of those cracks in your foundation, or you're down in the basement. You notice like a wet spot, any kind of moisture whatsoever kind of seeping through there. That could be signs of a serious problem. So you want to check out my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. There are a lot of companies that do this kind of thing, but you want to trust Engineered Solutions of Georgia because they have experts on staff, full-time engineer. This is the structural integrity of your home. You don't want to settle for less than a full-time engineer. So give them a call at 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. All right. We are still in Dog Nation Days of Summer mode, which means kind of relax on here. Time for your comments. No kind of sanctioned official Q&A for today, but a chance for you to kind of weigh in on anything you want to from today's program. We'll do an extended version of this on video a little bit later on. For now, though, we'll give you a chance to be a part of the regular broadcast on this. So we'll pop over here and kind of see what you guys have going on, what you want to say about today's show. Somebody talking about Nate McBride in the comment section. Let me get this here up here. Mark Godfrey says that Kendall Milton's also going to have defenses tilting their head going, did he just do that as a dog? So Mark apparently feeling pretty confident about what George was able to do with Kendall Milton here this week. That's a nice thing to be able to think about. As I said before, you can't say Georgia didn't put its best foot out there. You know, you can't say Georgia didn't do as much as it possibly could to make a strong impression on Kendall Milton. And now you'll just see where things go from here. Alta McGurk also asking about Rick Gilbert, the five-star tight end, who's apparently in Alabama this past weekend. We'll await word from Jeff Sintel this week on how things did go for Gilbert being at Alabama. That's certainly something worth paying attention to, as it wasn't just a busy recruiting weekend for Georgia. It was a busy one for a lot of folks there as well. Jennifer Wheat Rucker thinking about Dog Nation invasions. Of course, we're in Dog Nation Days of Summer mode right now, but it won't be that far away from the season. And Jennifer says, how about a Dog Nation invasion to Nashville? Listen, we are not too far away from talking about all that kind of stuff. And one way or another, Dog Nation is looking forward to being in Nashville and hopefully seeing many of you there as well. John Pern Williams also talking about the relatively slow 40 time that Kendall Milton was clocked at. I mean, ultimately, I don't think that was a huge deal necessarily one way or another. I think Milton's game speed is just fine. I think we've seen that with Elijah Holyfield in a Georgia uniform. You know, Holyfield by NFL draft standards, by combine standards, wasn't necessarily the fastest running back, but on the field, it was awful hard to tackle him. And if Kendall Milton were to one day wear the silver britches, my guess is it'd be very much the same way. All right, we'll get ready to wrap up the program here today. As we do, for those of you watching on video, I want to show you this quick photo. What a time we had on Friday as part of our Dog Nation Days of Summer event, our golf outing there at a Callaway Resort and Spa. We played the Resort and Gardens. We played the Mountain View course. It was a beautiful course, one of the great courses I've ever played on, one of the great times playing golf I've ever had. My partners in particular, Brad, Robert, Mike, you see them there kind of in the center. They got front and center for that picture. It was a really cool thing to be a part of and an incredible experience at a Callaway Resort and Gardens. What an unbelievable time. Just a fantastic kickoff to our Dog Nation Days of Summer. And I just really appreciate everybody who played golf, who made this event so much fun for me, and the Callaway Resort and Garden staff who made this an incredible event for everybody involved, my family included. By the way, good news to close out our program, Gator Hater Updater. How about 960 days? That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten UGA. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.